Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
You know what I'm going to say. Best doorman ever. Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. The podcast that with more, as people used to tell me, with more celebrities than the inauguration. I'm your host, cruise director, spiritual advisor, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jennifer Perry or Jen or JP. I am just happy to have you here. And thank you. You know, I took some time off around December. And then come back, and everybody's been downloading, still subscribing, downloading old episodes, which you can do for no cost still, thank goodness, and sharing and commenting and giving me feedback and suggestions, and I thank you each and every one. I also wanted to say shout out to my friends. At Turner a couple nights ago, I was at an event. It was the SMPTE, the Society for Motion, I think it's Motion Picture Television Engineers. And it was at Turner at Techwood. And Chris Brown gave a great talk about, it was mostly about all the work behind the scenes that goes into making sure they have broadcast for the NBA All-Star Weekend in Charlotte. The last one in Charlotte, and also Andreas Norman, who was there with him. They did a great job. And thanks to my good friend Michael Greenwood of Space Connection. We've also been sharing the lineup I've got come up the next few days with everybody in those space groups, like space and satellite professionals, et cetera. And things are very exciting for right now. You know, coming up next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend, is Wild Wild West Con, which, you know, I'm crazy about. I'll be there this year doing, again this year, but I'll be doing a couple of panels. I've got a lot of Wild Wild West Con people on the show before then. Last week I had James Breen, who's manager of the panels, James Springer, who will be having, he's going to be on one of my panels, actually, James Springer. And he has a podcast called Creative Play. And what else? Karen E. Thomas is going to be on there. Oh, she was on a few weeks ago. Coming up tomorrow night, I've got Tobias McCurry, one of the most famous people, creators, makers, as they call them. Tobias McCurry tomorrow night. Sometime this weekend, we haven't scheduled it, but I'll be sharing it. Got also another incredibly talented woman who makes things too, Talis Forge. And then also Professor Elemental, who will be doing the Saturday night concert at Wild Wild West Con. Next Monday, Brandi Stilwell. She works for Warner. She's a writer for DC Comics, and she's here. She will be here to talk about her comic book. She's the co-creator of The Sasquatch Detective. And so excited about that. And then on Tuesday, Neil Gore. And Neil Gore is, I have to tell you in just a little bit, I have to look back at before the end of the show and all his stuff, because this has all been booking so fast, like in the last 24 hours, I can barely keep up. But tonight, everyone's excited about tonight's guest, especially me. He's an author, editor, and astronomer. His information says he lives somewhere between the western and final frontiers in southern New Mexico. Now, his website says he's the author of 11 novels, but he's a very prolific writer, so that's probably doubled by now the time that was written. He's also got a lot of short fiction that's appeared in magazines and anthologies, and he's the editor of several science fiction anthologies, and he's an actual, honest-to-goodness astronomer, too. So let me welcome another special guest from this year's Wild Wild West Con, David Lee Summers. David, come on in, sit down, find a nice cushion to sit on.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Madam Perry. This is a real honor, and a real honor after all those other guests that you've mentioned have been on and will be on. That's great company.
Am I the luckiest girl or what?
You are.
You guys, all of you being so generous with your time, and especially this close to Wild Wild West Con, when I know everybody is supremely busy, and yet you're all giving time for me and my audience, my listeners, and I am so grateful to you and everyone else, and this is just gets to be more and more fun. But I am thrilled to have you on. I said you're. I don't know if anyone told you we didn't have enough time to talk. But you know, as you look around you, you can see one of my first guests went back after being on Madame Perry's Salon and said, "I've been there. It looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle," which kind of fits in. You know, not astronomer Jeannie, Major Healy.
Yes.
guys, and so that's why it's a. Little dim in here. That's why we sit on big cushions, but I hope you're comfortable.
And oh, very comfortable. Thank you very much.
Good. Glad to hear that. You work for Kitt Peak National Observatory outside Tucson. And, of course, you probably get a lot of – go ahead.
So I was just going to say, we're right in sight of the site for Wild Wild West Con. In fact, if you're standing outside at Wild Wild West Con, you can look over to the western horizon, and you can actually see the observatory right there with the white buildings right up on the mountain. And that mountain, actually, I've seen in several old western films that were filmed in that area, but before the observatory went up, remember seeing it in 310 to Yuma, the classic one with Glenn Ford. You can actually see Kitt Peak in the background. So that's where that's where my quote unquote day job is. And I do live in southern New Mexico. I go over to Kitt Peak about every other week, and it's basically a week on, week off kind of schedule that I maintain.
Yeah, as you see. Yeah. Sorry, you're getting me there, and I'm also getting some messages already. By the way, I might as well say this now. Yes, we're live right. If you're listening live right now, between it's a little after 8 p.m. Eastern, after 5 p.m. Pacific time, or somewhere in between, or somewhere else. If you're listening live tonight, February 27th, and you want to talk to David Lee Summers, you just give us a call, 646-716-9922. Blog Talk Radio assures me it's a toll-free call in the continental U.S. Or some people, if you can't make a call but you have a comment or a question, you know, usually people can, if you've got my phone number, you can text me. Or if you're on Facebook, you can send me a message, a private message through either Jennifer Mott at Perry page or Madame Perry Salon. And because, you know, David, sometimes people have a day job or something where they can't really make a phone call, but they're listening.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of my situation up there. We have radio telescopes on the mountain, so I can't actually have my cell phone on when I'm at work. So I sympathize with people who can't call out on a private line, you know, if they have to. Yeah, you know, leave their work line for business. That's completely understood.
Yeah. In fact, I'm getting one of those messages right now, and I just want to make sure, James, does that mean since you're listening from work that you're not going to call, or that you just want me to read these? I'll go ahead. James Spring, who has, as I mentioned, the Creative Play and Podcast Network, and he's going to be on one of my panels. He wants to know The podcast wants to know if you and I, either of us, David, are going to Wild Wild West Con.
Well, I certainly will be at Wild Wild West Con. I plan to be there the whole weekend.
And as for me, James, I think the only answer I could give you is, did Rose Kennedy have a black dress? Yes, I'm going. And also, he wants to know, and thank you, James. He's such a sweetheart. He also wants to know if any of your titles, and we're going to get into the titles of your books in just a few minutes. I'll tell you what, I'll save that question for just a moment till we get on that subject.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, see, this is so much fun. So astronomer, day job. We'll be able to see it from Old Town Tucson and recognize it from some movies. That'd be cool. I don't know what came first, you as a writer or you as an astronomer, but I have heard that you have a, let me just read some of your, the titles of your novels. Owl Dance, which I really like the story of Owl Dance. It's got everything in it. Aliens, Russians, all kind of stuff. The Astronomer's Crypt, Solar Sea, Dragon's Fall, Rise of the Scarlet Order. But Astronomer's Crypt, I heard that's got kind of an interesting, sort of an interesting idea or story about how you came to write that. It had to do with a job in one of, in an observatory,
well,
or one of your jobs as an astronomer.
Well, the Astronomer's Crypt is something that came from all kinds of years of working at observatories. The 4-meter, the Mayall telescope up at Kitt Peak, is this very large labyrinthine type building full of all kinds of rooms, and it's dark all night. And I just kept thinking about this place as it would make the perfect haunted house. And, you know, we sometimes in astronomy, working late at night, we like to scare each other with ghost stories. And in fact, there are a number of observatories like Lick Observatory up in California and Lowell Observatory in Arizona, and where the astronomer for whom it's named is actually buried on the site, or maybe even, like in the case of Lick Observatory, in the pier of the telescope. And I thought, you know, you're working late at night, the grave of someone right there, and, you know, you kind of hear these spooky stories, and certainly over the years at a place like Kitt Peak, which is at a remote mountain location but attractive to tourists, you know, we've had our shares, and unfortunately over the years, of people who have had accidents on the road, or sometimes just been up on the mountain and they're older and they've passed on. So you can imagine that a site like this might be a site with a lot of ghosts and a lot of that kind of energy. So I just thought, you know, imagine what would happen if you actually had astronomers coming into contact with ghosts in this sort of haunted house scenario. I've also been up there when there's been times when we've had really terrible storms up there. I mean, in fact, just even this last shift I was up there, I was up on a day where I could not push open the door of one of the telescopes because the wind was blowing on it so hard. So you could imagine almost being trapped in this thing, like a Vincent Price thriller, you know, where you're just stuck in the building. And all of these ideas kind of came together, along with the fact that living here in the Southwest, we are surrounded by all kinds of really amazing Native American stories. And I wanted to kind of bring some of that together with this idea of almost the haunted house, like what happens if someone's actually looking for a forbidden artifact for some reason, and that comes to the observatory and starts waking the ghosts, as it were. Now, of course, you know, as a scientist, a good scientist, I'm in real life a skeptic, but still doesn't keep, you know, it doesn't keep me from letting my imagination run away sometimes late at night.
and hey, why not?
Exactly.
When people say, you know, you often hear people talk about giving advice about, well, write what you know. And then, of course, you know, Jimi Hendrix would say, well, you know, he would just come up with a story about maybe some kind of a war or whatever on Mars and write a song about it. So if you write just what you know, then we wouldn't have sci-fi and fantasy and so forth. Then again, and maybe some erotica, but then again, you're writing what you know.
Well, that one was certainly what I know, and certainly what goes on in the corners of my imagination, shall we say.
Now, your first book, if I could ask you about the very first novel you had, The Pirates of Sufiro, and that was 25 years ago you first wrote that. Tell me how you came up with the idea of the Western kind of theme and the space vibe together, and how did you create that?
Right.
And that was a trilogy, wasn't it? It became a trilogy?
Yeah, it ultimately became a trilogy, and now it's four books. The bio you read up at the top of the show is pretty much correct. I am just released novel number 12, so that is brand spanking new, and that's Firebrand's Legacy, which is actually a prequel to The Pirates of Sufiro. But where The Pirates of Sufiro came from is that, you know, I was reading Time Enough for Love by Robert Heinlein. I was reading John Nichols' The Magic Journey, which The Magic Journey is actually a contemporary novel set in New Mexico, and it traces the story of this young woman's through her entire life. And I got to thinking about that in context of all the stories I had heard from my family that had come and homesteaded in New Mexico, came in right around the beginning of the 20th century, right around the end of the 19th century in Texas and New Mexico. And thought, you know, there's some real stories there. And, you know, and then Robert Heinlein's Time Enough for Love got me thinking about this in sort of a science fictional context. You know, what if you actually had someone going off and settling a planet? What would that be like? Well, their stories probably wouldn't be all that different from the stories of homesteaders who came in the 19th and early 20th century out here to the Southwest and started farms and started ranches and had to deal with the conflicts of the resources that were going on. So that was really where I got started with the idea of the Pirates of Sufiro. My idea, the story starts out with the space pirate, Ellison Firebrand, who ends up crash landing on the planet with just a couple members of his crew. And then he ends up having to, it ends up almost kind of being, a, you know, has shades of Swiss Family Robinson and maybe Mysterious Island, the great Jules Verne novel, and where they're trying to kind of do their best to make a life on this distant world. And then what happens is ultimately it gets found by other humans who come and settle along with them. And we see the story as this colony grows up and as people discover more and more resources on the colony. So the title actually comes from the fact that, of course, there's a literal space pirate who is the founder of the world, but then we also have almost figurative pirates, industrial pirates who come in later trying to exploit the planet and exploit the people that are there. And so that's where that came from. And then the new novel that's just come out, Firebrand's Legacy, is actually the stories of Captain Ellison Firebrand and his time as a space pirate before he landed on Sufiro. So we get to know him and his crew and those people who are in the early parts of the book a little bit better.
Now, tell us about I've got to cut to something else here. You, back in the mid-90s, you attended a writer's conference, University of Arizona, keynote speaker, Ray Bradbury.
That's and, right. Yeah, Ray Bradbury, he is just awesome, or was. I'm sorry to say he's no longer with us, but yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I mean, talk about what, I just want to know what that was like just to get to hear him speak.
Oh, he was amazing, and I actually should preface that by, I actually got to meet him the first time in 1983, and I was in high school, and he actually came and spoke to the high school that was our crosstown rival. I grew up in Southern California, and he came to the other high school in town. So, you know, I was really heartbroken. I was going to miss Ray Bradbury, but I had friends at this school, and they said they could get me in. And I actually talked to, I was in journalism class at the time, and I talked to my teacher, and I said, I've got an opportunity to interview Ray Bradbury. Can I get the day off of school to go do this? And she said, absolutely. So I went over, met up with my friend. We're walking on the campus of what for me is a strange high school, and we come across the principal, and I think, oh my God, I'm busted here. And she says, are you students from other high schools? And I'm like, yes, I am a student from another high school. And she says, well, Mr. Bradbury is eating lunch in the cafeteria in the library right now. Would you care to join him? I was just floored. And I of course said, yes, I would love to. And of course I just sat there in awe for about probably 30, 45 minutes, just listening to him talk to teachers, you know, maybe interjecting maybe one or two words, you know, when I could just barely muster up the courage. But yeah, that was the first time I met Ray Bradbury, and he came and he spoke to the whole school. And of course, you know, you talk about a school full of high schoolers, of teenagers, and they're just rapt listening to him. And, you know, then finally at the end of it, I go up with my friend, and we go up and we're going to say, you know, bye and thank you for having us for lunch. And he says, well, I'm going out with some of the teachers after this. Would you care to join us there? And it's like, okay. So went and had a chance to hang out with Ray Bradbury at a restaurant after the talk. And so when I actually got to see him, I got to see him one other time at Cal State University, very briefly after that. And then there was the time at the University of Arizona. And again, every time I've heard, I got to hear him speak, it was just amazing. He could speak extemporaneously about pretty much anything. And he would tell stories of how he came up with his stories, and he would read poetry, and he would just, you know, he was just one of the most gracious people. And one of the things that was great about that meeting in the 90s was that was when I got a chance to introduce him to my wife. Now, the epilogue to this whole story of actually seeing him, talking to him at these events was this 90s workshop was where me and my friend William Grother and my wife Kumi came up with the idea of a small magazine called Hadrosaur Tales. We dedicated the magazine to him, and he then ended up sending to all of us who were in the magazine signed photos when we sent it to him. And then a few years later, I had my first professional publication in Realms of Fantasy magazine, a fantasy story I had written inspired by Moby Dick, which in turn was inspired by one of the things he told about at the 90s workshop in Tucson. Was he talked about getting to write for John Huston writing Moby Dick. And this got me thinking about, well, how could I tell a different kind of dragon story? So I did a version of Moby Dick with dragons. This was published in 2001. And then when that came out, he sent me this lovely letter just saying, you know, how much my teachers back in those days in high school when he had met me would be so proud. And it's just the fact that he remembered across all those years you know, when we had met maybe three times. And it was just he was amazing. I've never met anyone else like him.
What a gentleman. You know, what a wonderful guy.
Exactly. He was amazing. He just was a really gentlemanly person and just friendly and generous with his time.
Now, Hydrosaur, what's a Hydrosaur Multimedia?
Yes, Hydrosaur Productions is our company.
And I understand you did an audio version of, was it a Firebrand's Legacy, or was it, no, it wasn't. What was it? You did some audio.
Well, the very original thing we did with the company was an audio version of The Pirates of Sufiro. And we actually did that. We got together with some of my fellow staff members at Kitt Peak and, you know, with just primitive audio tape equipment, you know, stuff you could buy at, like, you know, the department store, and just recorded, you know, us reading the book, different people taking different parts in the story. And, you know, we had a blast with it. We turned it into, I think it was 6 audio cassette tapes that we sold at science fiction conventions back in the mid-90s. You know, just had a blast kind of getting to know the science fiction community through that and selling these tapes. Now, as it turns out, you know, where you're basically on track here is I'm actually working with another fellow in Tucson, Eric Schumacher, who's a filmmaker and an actor in Tucson, and we actually are recording the first chapter of Firebrand's Legacy now. But at this point, we're bringing in professional actors. We have Jeffrey Notkin, who is known for as the host of Meteor Men on the show Meteor Men, and he's doing the narration for us, and he has this wonderful, sophisticated British accent reading the story. So we have so we've really come full circle from doing this as a sort of homebrew project on audio cassette tapes to having professional actors coming and actually reading the parts for these stories and turning it into a professional audio book with, you know, that'll go out digitally and be available to people who want to get it. And our ultimate goal is we'll record this first chapter of Firebrand's Legacy. And then the plan is that we'll actually do a Kickstarter to see if we can actually fund getting the rest of the book made with the full cast and everything.
Oh, that's going to be good. And by the way, if you just happen to need if you have a part for someone with a gentle Southern accent, you know, just, you know.
I think we know where to call.
All right. Well, listen, I've got a message here from our friends at Mason Style. I'll be right back with David Lee Summers in about 60 seconds from now.
The next game changer in the men's fashion industry might just be around the corner with the upcoming launch of Mace in Style, a new international gentleman's fashion boutique store that will offer comfortable and fashionable designer-crafted clothing, accessories, jewelry, watches, as well as health and lifestyle essentials for men, crafted by talented fashion artisans from various corners of the world. Mace in Style offers clothing and accessories for men of different shapes and sizes, from streetwear enthusiasts, the hip-hop street artist, the corporate powerhouse, the prepster, the jock, the rock star, the adventurer, to the all-American throwback, and many others in between. Mates in Style is inspired by the latest trends in fashion, which will help any generation achieve their desired style and look. Visit the pre-launch site now at prelaunch.matesinstyle.com to be a part of this inspiring fashion innovation. prelaunch.matesinstyle.com.
All right, go to Mates, M-A-T-E-S-N-I-N style, S-D-Y-L-E.com. If you're shopping, I love to shop for my husband. And sometimes I used to go to the stores and there's something like, it's either Golf Geek or Thug, and there's nothing in between. And my husband has many different lives and personalities. Sort of like you, David. You know, he's by day he works in the satellite communications industry. And then at night he's a musician and, you know, different lives like some of us have. So it's a good place to get some great men's clothes. So, well, I think then you answered the question we had from Creative Play and Podcast. They wanted to know if you're going to be making, if any of your titles will be making transformation into audiobooks. But we just covered that.
There we go.
Yes, so, thank
we did one thing I didn't mention was that we did have copies of Pirates of Superhero, Children of the Old Stars, and Heirs of the New Earth were available as audiobooks for a little while. Unfortunately, the site that was hosting those is no longer around, so they aren't. But my novels, Owl Dance and Lightning Wolves, are up on Audible. So those are available as audiobooks right now.
Oh, sweet. Okay, good to know. All right, and thanks, James, and Creative Play and Podcast for that question. And if you have a question, you can call 646-716-9922 and or just message a question to me. And by the way, Pete says thanks for the show. Can't wait to start into David's books, and so did let me read this message. I also saying pretty much the same thing. David Summers is an interesting guy. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Janelle, for sending us a message too. I appreciate that. You know, trying to learn more about you just kind of took me down a rabbit hole, David Lee Summers. I came up with names and things and people. Not that I know everything. There's so much I don't know. But I came in with the names of people that I wasn't familiar with, and words like the Polymath Outlook or Alvin Clark or Thomas Cook. Who were these guys, and how do they dovetail in with the story of David Lee Summers?
Well, I'll start with Alvin Clark, because Alvin Clark is one of my sort of favorite people from the Victorian era. I like to think of him as one of the great, I call him one of the great mad scientists of the Victorian era. That may not be quite fair, but he was the person who built not only the world's largest telescope, but then he outdid himself and built the world's even larger telescope, and even the world's larger telescope, until he built really what was the largest refracting telescope of all, the Yerkes Telescope in Wisconsin. Almost every really major telescope used in an astronomical observatory in the Victorian era. And in fact, actually one of the first jobs I worked at was at a place called Maria Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. And that was an observatory in basically named after the America's first woman astronomer from the 1800s, and ended up being a professor at Vassar and did some work at Harvard. And what we were doing was, my job there was actually working on an Alvin Clark telescope with the wind-up clockwork type drive and all of this 19th century technology. We were taking plates of taking photographs of the stars, and the idea was we were looking for variable stars. These are stars that change their brightness over time, and we were using these glass plate photos. So it was just like the old pictures you might see of photographers working in the 1800s, where they pull the slide out, wait some amount of time, and then put the slide back in, and then go develop this glass plate as a photograph, and we would use these to study variable stars. So some of my very first papers in astronomy that I did in the early 1980s, early to mid-1980s, were actually done on this Victorian era technology. And so it really kind of left me with this just sort of love and fascination for that. We did a lot of our timekeeping on the old ship's chronometers because we're Nantucket Island, you know, Moby Dick and that whole bit. And so we had this whole thing of it was just fun to be in the sort of 19th century surroundings doing science on distant stars and doing stuff that was still publishable and relevant. Well, and this telescope ended up being used well up into the 1990s. So this Alvin Clark telescope ended up getting a century of service, and what it created was this track record of what these variable stars were doing over 100 years. So yeah, so in exactly the same way, so people could use that as a way to continue to study these things. So that really kind of got me interested in this whole steampunk idea of, you know, advanced technology in the 1800s, in the era of, you know, in the era of steam power, in the era when, like, my great-grandparents were riding on the railroads and so forth. And my dad can... My dad was a railroader, so I grew up with a love of trains and that technology as well. So it was kind of like a way to marry these ideas in one place.
Oh, I'm sorry. It seems very synchronous how all of these elements seem to blend together or almost braid together into the story. By the way, David, if you could do me a favor, there's a little dim in here. If you could just reach over to your left and open up the beaded curtain. I have someone who wants to step in here and talk with us.
Okay, the curtain is open.
All right, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Come on in, sit down.
Hello, hello, Madame Perry and Mr. Summers. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I now don't give it away. I want to see if David can figure out who I am.
I'm
I
not
bet
gonna
you
say.
Can't.
Oh goodness, this is doing this just by voice. This is tricky.
Cushion and sit on. So.
Well, I'm sent. Let me give you a hint here, David. I'm in the process of sending an email to you here relatively shortly. It's got a schedule for you.
Yeah, that's okay. Now I'm hearing your voice. Yeah, hi James.
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, you'll be hearing from me again really soon. I'm sending out all these panel schedules. We had to wait until make sure everything was set. We are using another area this year for some stuff. And it was we weren't sure if it was going to work, so we had to wait to make sure. And once we did that, now we know. So, yeah, now I can start sending all these letters out to all you fine folks.
Well, I know.
Even Madame Perry's getting one.
Yay!
Excellent.
What, I say, yay, what does it say? Leave us alone?
Stop bugging us.
So yeah, I'm having all that fun of going through and copy pasting. I'll tell you both right now, it's a form letter. I'm not hand typing every letter this year.
You've got a
amazing.
Alrighty. So
oh, yeah.
I do in fact see. I'm sitting here looking at my email here on the handy dandy portable device, and I see in fact that I have a schedule here, and it all looks like it will be great amounts of fun. So looks like we might have two things on at. Oh, okay, I see. They're both in the same place and such. So I guess we'll have to.
Okay, well, this is fine. I'm trying to find somebody's email, and it's nowhere in my forums. Oh, this is joyful.
All right, email, and mine says something about cease and desist, so I don't know.
I haven't sent yours out yet. Nice try, though.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I don't know how long we have you, but thank you for calling in. Do you know, did you hear who's going to be on here? You know, I'm going to be doing shows, I think, every night up until I leave for Tucson. Do you know who's going to be on?
Yes, I do. I got your message.
You
Tobias
did.
Tomorrow. Oh boy, have fun.
Tobias.
Maybe I'll pop in just to see how you're doing. But yeah, Tobias is something else. But we love him to death, so it's all good. And then Taylor is wonderful. I'm sure she'll be great.
Yeah.
And the night you have Professor E in is actually the night that we are checking at the hotel. So I probably will not be able to call that evening.
So Professor Elemental, Taylor's Forge, and then Monday night is a comic book night with Brandi Stilwell of DC Comics and her Sasquatch Detective, and then Tuesday will be Neil Gore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not met them. I can't wait to meet them.
Now, leverage their names and then saying that I was a friend of yours and get David Lee Summers on tonight. So, yeah, things looking good.
Yeah, and it's been fun so far. And these are, like I say, it's going to be a great event, you know, because it's all these people and even more at the out at Old Tucson.
I just figured out why I couldn't find this person's email address, because all these next people are all with the same group, so they all would have gotten the same email. Fun,
James,
fun.
Since you're here, James, what about people? Are there still tickets available for people that want to come?
There's definitely tickets available. Definitely plenty of tickets available. There's tickets available if you just show up there out of the blue and want to come in.
We
will not run out of tickets for folks.
All right. Good.
Unless
Old
Tucson says we can't bring any more people in. And then it's, you know, beyond our control.
We
can't really argue with them. They're nice enough to let us, you know, hold the event there. So, you know, we have to be nice to them, too.
Well, every year you outdo yourself in making it better and better. So I think this is going to certainly be next.
Well, and I don't know if Dave is aware of this, but and I know I mentioned it last time with James. Matter of fact, you heard the challenge between James and I. But for those who are listening who may not have heard the last one, Old Tucson now has a zip line target shooting attraction.
Oh, wow.
Where you ride a zip line down, you have a little laser pistol, and there's targets up in the trees and on buildings, and yeah.
Oh, that sounds like that'd be dangerous for me.
So the last time I was on here with Madam Perry and James Nettie, there was a challenge made. And James thinks he's going to take me down, and get a better score than me on a shooting range. James, if you're listening, I'll give you this one opportunity to back out. I mean, I'll give you the opportunity to back out without any repercussions after this. Well, yeah. Sorry.
Uh-oh. Hey.
Yes, you got to get in their heads a little bit.
If you guys want to figure some odds on this, anybody take a bet?
What was that? You broke up on us there.
Taking bets?
Well, I don't know. If you want to lose your money, go ahead and bet on, you know, Mr. Netherty. If you want to win money back, well, then you'll put your bets on me. And I'll even be nice enough to bookie it for, you know, 15%.
Gee, I think James wins regardless here.
Yeah, you see? You get how this works. It's a new game I came up with. It's called I Win.
There you go.
Now, just sure, this zip line target shoot.
I'm sorry?
Built this zip line. Target.
Yes.
Shoot. Thing. Who built it?
It's an independent. It's another company. They're contract with Old Tucson, from what I can gather.
It's not like you got just strung up a line after hours or something.
I'm sorry? You were breaking up on me again.
I was just trying out some clothesline after hours or something.
But no, I've seen some really cool videos of it, actually. And it looks pretty interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be a fun thing. I don't think I'm in the class to challenge, but I think I would have some fun giving it a try.
Heck, my panels team wants to do a whole big thing where everybody does it, and we see who gets the best score out of the group. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna add a whole lot. It's gonna add something new for everybody to do. And
hey,
so
David,
I think it'll be successful.
Yeah, David, I'm sure Kit Peak has a good insurance set up, don't they, for employees?
Yeah, they do. Now you know what it'll cover for me going zip lining at Old Tucson. Who knows?
Okay, all right.
We can always put it out as a work injury, work related.
There you go.
you were there. You were a presenter. You're working, right?
You're
right. Right.
Makes sense to me.
And in fact, in the email you have that I'm doing an astronomy presentation, and we're talking about Victorian science. So it's there we go. So
yeah,
I'll definitely be there doing at least part of my day job.
See, you can justify it.
There you go.
Will you be there?
Oops, I think we're losing Madam Perry here.
Yeah, David, will your wife be there?
My wife will be here. Will be there. Yes.
Okay, good, good. Just want to make sure.
At least you'll be chaperoned.
Make a call.
All right, we're going to have unchaperoned now this year. Thomas Williford, James Nethery.
Oh, my.
Supervision.
Well...
Oh, yeah, and, Wheeler Stone as well. That's right, because his wife's not coming. So Wheeler's coming unsupervised.
Well.
Yep.
All I have to say is I'm glad I'm not VIP services.
All right. Guys, this is I'm so excited. Like I said, every day. I don't even broadcast on the weekends. You know that, James Breen. But every day. Steampunk until I leave for Tucson, and I've already got.
When do you come into Tucson, by the way?
What now?
When do you come into Tucson?
Thursday afternoon.
Thursday afternoon. All right.
A minute. I had so much fun last year. I'm not missing a minute of it. So I'll be, and. I can't wait, and so, like I said, I'm going to be doing a show every day up until then, and most of it's all the people going to be at Wild Wild West Con, and James Brand, you do a magnificent job. I just, I tease you, but you do a fantastic job, and
if you didn't tease me at least once every time we spoke, I think you were mad at me.
Yeah, and you'd be right, too, and David Lee Summers. Looking so forward to your new book, Firebrand's Legacy. Excited about that. Excited about seeing you there in Tucson. And guys, spread the word about the Wild Wild WestCon, everybody, also. And by the way, hello to Russell and hello to Terry. Thank you both for messaging in that you're enjoying the show. Also, tell everybody to listen every day. All the cool people are going to be here at Madam Perry's definitely son. And, guys, I'm going to close out. Thank you for being here with me and for your generosity of your time. I'm going to close out with a good friend of ours, Scott Helland, Frenchie and the Punk, and Never End the Rock.